worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
There is none. the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Was born in the spirit, lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of hope shall not kneel and shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Just want to come today and thank you. You deserve all our praise. God, it is in this time, God, that it says in the fullness of time you came, Lord, and we just thank you for that. God, we know that everything is in your hands, that all things are under your control. And God, we just love you. We thank you for those that are here today. We pray for Brother Darrell as he comes to deliver your word to us. God, help us to just be who you want us to be and do the things you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, good morning, everyone. So, if you've read your holy bulletin, you know that today we are calling this the Sowers of the Seed Sunday. And where are you going? Right here. All right. So, a little bit about today. I'm going to talk here in a second about The parable of the sower comes out of the book of Mark, I believe, Mark chapter 8. And then Daryl's going to bring a sermon on the Great Commission. We'll get those when we come up in a minute. All right. And then we're going to have our regular prayer time, like we always do. The prayer for us and the prayer for those on our heart we're burdened for. At the end of the service, we're going to challenge, offer, let you come up and take one of these little gray testaments. They look very similar to the ones that we as the Gideons hand out. Doesn't have the Gideon logo on it, but I want to tell you a little bit about it. In the front, there are some pages, if I can get to them, that have helps. It's the help section, we call it. If you're going through different challenges in life, you can look up some verses that can help you with that. In the back is the Roman Road of Salvation that we preach and teach and talk about a lot at this church. It's going to be as simple. We talked a little bit about it already. It's going to be as simple as just going to work, going to school. I talked with the youth this last Wednesday, challenged them to come and do this too when they're out. It can be as simple as just offering the testament to somebody and say, hey, come to church next Sunday with us. You know, we meet at First General, 11 o'clock. Just come and listen to the sermon. If the Spirit's leading, you might get a chance to share a little bit about your faith, what Jesus means to you, what he's done in your life, how he's changed you, how you've used him to get through troubling times. And if you're blessed enough, you may actually get to go through the Roman Road of Salvation with somebody and see them come to know Jesus as their Savior also. Other than accepting Jesus as your own Savior, most wonderful day of your life, when you help lead somebody to the Lord and know that they will be in the kingdom of God through eternity, it's an amazing feeling. So anyway, we're calling it Sowers of the Seed Sunday, and most of y'all know the parable of the sower that Jesus tells. He tells the crowd that the sower goes out, and as he goes along, some of the seeds will fall on hard path, hard ground, and they will not come up at all. They will not even sprout. Some will come up on rocky soil. They'll start to come up, and then they'll wither away because there's not enough moisture. There's not enough to sustain the seed. Some will be sown on ground where it's thorny and brambles, and they'll come up, but then they'll get choked out by the thorns. And then there'll be some seeds that are sown on good soil, and they will come up, they will flourish, and they will harvest tenfold what was planted. And so Jesus and the disciples went off, and the disciples were like, Lord, what does that even mean? We don't get it. And so Jesus told the disciples, and this is where we come in as Christians, as disciples of Jesus. He told them that the hard path is people who will just reject the word. You may actually, and as Gideons, I've done this, I've had this happen. I've offered a testament to people, and they just won't take it. They'll just reject it. And that's what he's talking about, the hard path. There are people who will take it and may read a little bit, may try to come to church, but it's just it's rocky soil. It doesn't have enough. They don't make an effort to learn more. And so then it'll just die out. The thorny that Jesus was talking about, the thorny ground, is when people who get the word and they come to church and they start, you know, hey, this is great, love coming to church, and then the world comes on them and they choose the world's choices instead of God's choices. And they turn away from God and they lose what they had. And then, hopefully, there are the good soils that we're hoping that as we hand out our testaments this week, that the people who were able to give those to will come to church. They will be nourished by coming here. The word will fill them and they'll flourish and they'll become Christians that will also go out and share the word with other people. And so 2 points that I think we should take away from that. If you noticed, out of 4 categories, 3 of them rejected or turned away from the word. There's going to be more people that turn away from God, that turn away from Jesus, than there are that accept him. It's just the way it is. It's sad, but the culture that we live in today, you'd probably be lucky that 1 out of 4 that we share a testament with will actually continue to come to church and will try to learn and become better Christians and flourish and then go out and share what Jesus has done for you. Second, it's not easy giving these out. One of the stories that we as Gideons, you know, I think most of y'all know that Matt Fisher, James Pagan, and I are all Gideons. One of the stories I've always loved to hear is a bunch of new Gideons were going out to do a Bible distribution, and they were all excited, and they got to where they were going and got their boxes of Bibles out, and they were running around, man, just handing Bibles to everybody. But there was this one older Gideon, been a Gideon a long time. He was standing over on some steps, just kind of watching everybody running around. And one of the young guys comes over and said, "Hey, why aren't you giving out all the Bibles?" He said, "Because I'm looking for the one who is looking for us. If you will go out, if you will pray, and I promise, 100%, I promise, if you pray, Lord, put somebody in my path today that I can share your word with, he's going to do it. If you sincerely want to share his word, he will put somebody in your path. But there's a lot of people out there that don't really care or want to. So one of the things that we've talked about as Gideons is we're looking for the one who's looking for us. You can, if you're looking for it, you can see people who are hurting, who are suffering, who are going through bad times, who things are just going on in their life, that just a simple word of encouragement, a testament, a prayer makes all the difference in the world. So after the service, at the end of the service, please come up, take one. We don't want you to take 4, 5, or 10. We just want you to take one testament this week and go out and share that with somebody that needs to know who Jesus is.
All right, this morning, come and go. Matthew chapter 28. Actually, if you're looking at, there is an outline of this on the backside of your bulletin announcements. We will get to Matthew 28, 5 through 20, but we're going to, that's the go part. We're going to look at come first. And that is what we're going to do at the end. The come and go, the come part is praying. So we're going to do our prayer time as we usually do. We're going to have an altar prayer time. That's when if you need to come about anything, come, okay? And then we're going to have that time where we step out and step up, where we pray for each other, okay? And so if you have somebody in your heart, maybe they're not here or people who are here and they're on your heart, we just ask you to come. So that's the come part, come. And then at the very, very end, after our last prayer, you are welcome to come up here, take a Bible, and go, okay? So we're going to look at the first half of it, the come, and these scriptures are listed on your announcements on the backside. Well, they will be on the screen, and then we'll get to the go. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 6:44, this is what I really want to share with you about, both about come and go. Jesus said, "No one can come to me," this is interesting and important, and explains a lot. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him or her, and I will raise him or her up at the last day." Let's leave that up there a second. No one can come to me unless the Father draws them. You do choose to come. Where'd that choice come from? The Holy Spirit's at work in you. That's the only reason that you would even want to come. And I know it. I know it because I'm just like you. I'm a human just like you. It feels like when I'm coming to Jesus or coming to pray, it feels like it's just because I want to, and I get that because I do want to, or I need to. And where did that come from? All the want to, all the need to, comes from God in the first place. The Holy Spirit's work. The Father, through the power of the Spirit, is at work in you. Why are you here today? Because the Spirit has drawn you here. No, I thought I was just, you know, it's the day to come. No, the Holy Spirit is drawn. Here's what I really want to get across to you, to come and go both. It's not natural. In the fallen nature that we've got, it's not natural to come to Jesus. It's just not, it's not in the nature we've got. And so that's exactly why Jesus intervenes, the Father intervenes, the Holy Spirit intervenes, and he puts in you and is in you, and he's all around you, and he's drawing you. And you wouldn't, you not only, the reason you can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you, because you won't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you. And so that, whatever that is, and it's hard for us, I know, to put into words, whatever that is that's going on in me, whatever it is that's going on in you, why are you here? You know, what are you doing here? The Holy Spirit's at work. And I know that's hard to describe, and it's hard to explain. I deal with so many people who claim they've never seen God, they've never heard God, they don't know, but all that God is doing, and they're not seeing it, they're not hearing it, they're not listening for it. And I start talking to them about, well, you know, God's at work here and God's at work there, and I thought that was just me. You know, no, it's not just you and it's not just me. The Holy Spirit's at work. So that, the Bible, it uses an old word, unction, U-N-C-T-I-O-N, unction, Holy Spirit unction. I love that word. We don't hardly ever use it. You ought to incorporate that word more into our everyday talk. It's that almost indescribable thing going on in us. It's Holy Spirit unction. It's what gets you up, and it's what gives you that drive, and it's what's drawing you. So coming to Jesus is not natural. It's Holy Spirit. At the end of the service today, we're going to have that time where we come and pray. And it's a simple question. It's always going to be a simple question. Is the Holy Spirit drawing you? I have no idea what's going on with you today, what's going on with you last week. I don't know what's going on with you, but I guarantee you the Holy Spirit does. And so the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Is he drawing you this morning? Is there this something? I have simply lost count of the number of people who come to our church and they've told me, "I wanted to come to the altar before the service even started." I'm just going to use the opportunity right now to tell you, do it. Okay, do it. You do not have to wait till the service starts. But you were afraid, well, you know, I might get in the way, or I might not do it right. This isn't about doing it right. This is about obeying whatever the Holy Spirit's doing. And so is he drawing you? It's not natural for you to come. It's not natural for you to want to come and pray. Yes. The answer is yes, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Next scripture, Philippians 2:13. Very important. Kind of like John 6:44, saying the same thing, but Paul says it in a little different way. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So leave that up there for a little bit. For it's God who works in you, giving you that will and that desire to do what he wants you to do, that unction within you. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've felt him and have seen him move in me often, giving me the desire, the unction, the want to, the need to do a certain thing, to talk to someone, to preach. It's the Holy Spirit working. It isn't just us. So to come is not your nature. It's not what you would usually do. And so the only reason you're doing it is because the Holy Spirit's at work in you. Keep that same thought now to the go part of it. And here we go, Matthew 28. I don't know if you were here on Easter, but I use most of this scripture at Easter. And it's a great Easter scripture because of the women at the tomb. But I noticed, and I really didn't even notice it till I was up here reading it for Easter, how often Jesus tells his disciples to go. So this is the go part of it, and it's Matthew 28, 5 through 20. So we'll go from the meeting the ladies at the tomb all the way to the Great Commission at the very end, just before Jesus ascended. But so verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. For he's not here, he's risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now, notice verse 7. Now go quickly and tell his disciples. And that's what we're talking about now. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you. Okay? He's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out, verse 8. And we're going to leave this on the screen a little bit. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. They went and did what they were going, what Jesus told them to do with fear and great joy. Mixed together, and you're going to see that. As you step out and want to try to do what the Lord's asked you to do, to go, to talk to someone, to meet someone, that's not your nature. What we're talking about, it's against the nature I've got, the nature you've got. It's just by nature I don't do that. Reach out and try to, talk to someone and try to reach someone. Just by my nature I don't do that. But the Holy Spirit's at work. So there's this thing of fear and great joy going on at the same time. I wouldn't be surprised that you don't see that, feel that. Okay? It's nothing new. All right, so fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went, verse 9, went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Here it is again. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Okay, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. Let's pause right here. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now we're beginning, this is the beginning of the Great Commission. That's what we call this. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Jesus is speaking. All authority has been given to Jesus. How much authority does the devil have? None. How do you know that? What's it say? All authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. How much authority do you have? None. Satan has none. The demons have none. Okay? You're going out, and Jesus is going to tell you at the last of this, I'm going to be with you all the way. I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to be with you the whole way. The devil has no authority here. Don't be afraid. I know it's not your nature, but let the Holy Spirit nature come in you. Let it be the fuel that fuels you. Stop being afraid. Because what are you afraid of? Nothing. You're afraid of nothing. Because all authority has been given to Jesus. The devil, there's not enough authority to go around. Jesus got it all. The devil has none. So don't be afraid. Okay? Reading on, verse 19. Go. Therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I don't know who I'm going to give my Bible to yet. I just don't know. Wherever I go, whoever I talk to, whoever I hand this to, or whoever I leave this with, what has Jesus said? I am with you all the way. I will not leave you. I'm with you always. Okay? He's right there with me. I have nothing to be afraid of, and we have nothing to be ashamed of. Okay? So the plain instruction from Jesus to us is to go. I know it's not our nature, just as I know it's not our nature to come. But that Holy Spirit's in us, drawing us. It's not our nature to go, but it's that Holy Spirit in us giving us that unction to do this. Last verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Truman and Jonesboro and Northeast Arkansas, and wherever the Holy Spirit leads us. So I'm going to ask you this morning to come, pray, and then as the Holy Spirit leads you, to take a Bible and to go. I'm going to ask you musicians to come on up, and we will get ready to come and pray. I hope you already know this, but I'm going to make sure you hear it. Anytime, I want you to know, you can come and pray anytime. You don't have to wait till the service starts. You don't have to wait till the songs are through. I think most of you know that. And I've been encouraging, been doing this for a few years, I'm going to keep on doing it. Let's just don't wait. We don't have enough time to wait. Okay, let's don't wait. When the Holy Spirit moves, when you feel the unction of His Spirit move, come and pray. Just come. And let's don't wait and see what everybody else does. We've got to get over that, okay? We're not going to wait and see what everybody else does because it's not everybody else calling us, is it? It's the Holy Spirit calling us. And so I want to see what the Holy Spirit's doing, and I want to do what the Holy Spirit would have me do, okay? So, you can come anytime you want to, but this is what I really want to tell you. Every week, and I'm going to talk about this more. I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit talk about this more. If anybody's here and you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. It doesn't matter what the message is about. Anybody's here and you need to receive Jesus as your Savior, you come to an altar and you just confess your sins to Him. You repent of your sins. You ask Jesus to come into your heart to save you. I'm always here to help you. I'll stay as long after church if I need to do that. I'm just here. This is what I do, okay? But anytime, any week, you need to come and pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you do that on your own, I want you to let me know. Because part of the Great Commission is to disciple, teach, and what was the other one? Baptize, okay? So we're going to baptize you, all right? But you've got to let us know. Anytime you want to do that, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior. If you've not been baptized, you let me know and we're going to do that. That's being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to come, pray and ask Jesus to save you. You've just never done that. But you feel the Holy Spirit dealing with you right now. Come and pray and receive Jesus as your Savior. Now, there's all kinds of other things going on in our life. I've been saved a long time, but I still got a whole bunch of stuff going on in my life that I need to come and pray for. People I need to pray for, things about me that I need to pray for. Some of you need to come. The first scripture we looked at, come all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm tired. I'm weighed down. I'm carrying a burden, and I need to come and pray about it. I need that rest that Jesus talks about. I just need to come and pray. That's what this prayer time is for. I ask you to stand as our musicians play, sing. Any need at all in your life, any need at all in you, and you need and want to come and pray, we invite you to find an altar, a seat, come and pray.
Carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see. My soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh.
You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your Son for redemption, the price for mine. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you.
I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Whoa, oh, oh.
So I